my life. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to speak and now to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you remember, I'll do just a little bit of reviewing. I took the time and the effort to go through the entire Bible and list sequentially each wrong spirit that the Bible lists in the order that the Bible lists them. For the simple reason that I believe that our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, knows what He created better than anyone else. So He can tell us better than anyone else why you are the way you are and what to do about it. If you remember, there were 18 spirits, 18 wrong spirits, which 18 is divisible by 6, it's 3 sixes, which is the number 666, which the Bible says is the number of the beast, the Antichrist. Now, it is no accident that the last spirit named in the Bible in Revelation is the spirit of Antichrist. The first spirit is the spirit of jealousy. So everything that's wrong with you will start with jealousy and will end up with the spirit of Antichrist. Now, it's hard for Christians to understand and believe that they are against the Lord. They say, I love the Lord. Yes, you do, as Savior. And as your physician and your provider, you love Him there too. But as the way and the truth, you have a hard time with Jesus. Be honest. See, when I tell you the truth, see, you love the truth. Jesus is the truth. As long as it's the truth about everyone else but you. The minute we start telling you the truth about you, you become anti-truth or anti-Christ. Now, I can prove that to you because you are the one that says, I'm not going to do that anymore. That's the last time I've done that. Please forgive me. I'll never do that again. That's true. You really sincerely mean that at that point, and you are telling the truth. Your problem is the spirit of Antichrist is going to come, and when it comes time for you to do that truth that you spoke, you're going to go against it. You're going to do exactly what you said you weren't going to do, but you'll apologize again. You see, this spirit of Antichrist is the one that causes you to go against what you said you were going to do or what you said you wanted to do. Now, for you to try to convince me or anyone else that you were sincere when you said it is an exercise in futility for the simple reason that I'm already admitting that fact. I'm in agreement with you. You mean it when you say it. That is not your problem. Sincerity is not your problem. An earnest desire to do right is not your problem. The problem is you gravitate from jealousy to this spirit of Antichrist, and then you go against the very truth that you spoke and don't understand why. And then someone will come along and tell you that there's something spiritually wrong with you, or that you just aren't sincere, or you're a liar, or you wait until God feels better about you and He'll make you do it. As soon as He gets a few lightning bolts into your life, he'll fix you. God will get you for that, Maud. Nothing could be further from the truth. You see why people get so frustrated with churches and preachers and Christianity? Because they're always telling you what to do, and none of them tell you how. Or even why. They just tell you what to do and what's going to happen if you don't do it.
That's right.
Like if you didn't already know that. Well, you see, that doesn't do anything but heighten your frustration. Now, let me show you where you're at. We started, if you remember, with the spirit of jealousy. Jealousy meant envy and greed, if you remember. That's that desire to take over what doesn't belong to you. Wives love to correct husbands and vice versa. You know everything that's wrong with your husband, don't have a clue what's wrong with you, or vice versa. That's the spirit of jealousy. So you are trying to enter into a domain that does not belong to you. And the reason you like that domain, because when you enter into your husband's life to figure him out, no matter what you find out, it's not going to be you. See, so you can walk in there with your righteous sword of flame, and you're going to do surgery on everything. But you see, when I say, hold the phone here, let's turn around and let's talk about you. You become Antichrist. All of a sudden, you come up with every kind of excuse there is why you do and why we ought to accept and understand why you do what you do. But in the meantime, let's slice your husband's throat for him doing the same thing, or vice versa. That's the spirit of jealousy, isn't it? Now, this envy, this desire to fix that that you have no business in, while you disregard that that you have responsibility for, brings the next spirit, evil. And evil means a problem, an affliction, something wrong. Jealousy will cause something wrong to go in your life. This is followed by the sorrowful spirit. You're jealous because you don't have, you're trying to deal with what's none of your business. It creates a problem, and now you're sorry. But remember, sorry not only meant to be pitiful and inadequate and incomplete, it also meant to be stubborn. Because you see, stubborn people will continue to do the same thing and always say they're sorry. Sorry doesn't mean I apologize. Sorry means I'm pitiful, pathetic, and incomplete and stubborn. Come on, do it again. So you're always saying you're sorry. Well, the sorrowful spirit only goes so long, and then the next spirit that comes in is the familiar spirit. Familiar spirit, if you remember, comes from the Latin word familia, which is where we get our English word family. Now, this family spirit comes right after your stubborn, sorrowful spirit, where you cannot get by on sorry anymore. Well, now you want to be treated like you were treated as a child whenever your sorries ran out. You want mommy to be forgiving. You want daddy to cover for you. And you want the whole world to think you're cute, and that's enough. When that doesn't happen when you're an adult, you don't have anyone to do that for you anymore because you're an adult now. You should be responsible. And you start looking for your wife and or your husband to treat you with the same kind of sick love that you received as a child when they accepted your wrong just because they loved you. Well, now you're an adult and it doesn't work that way in the real world. So this familiar spirit doesn't serve you that way. Then you criticize your wife for not mothering you. You criticize your husband for not fathering you. And you hate the preacher who doesn't mother and father you. Right. Now, you got a problem here. The only way you can solve it is to go to the next spirit, the lying spirit, denial. Deny there's anything wrong with you. Deny there's anything wrong. Just deny, deny, deny. We're heading towards an addiction, aren't we? The first characteristic of an addiction is to deny your reality. That's called the lying spirit. You can only lie so long, and then after that, you don't even believe your lie. Amen. After a while, you can't even deny where you're at, so you need the haughty spirit. Haughty means, so what? It's my life, they're my lungs, this is my liver, this is my brain. If I want to take drugs, these are my buns. If I want to get fat, I'll get fat. So what? Well, see, after you deny that it's there all these years, then you say, so what if it is? Well, I thought you said it wasn't there. You're the one that lied all this time, and now that you can't lie about this thing anymore because you can't hide it anymore, now you say, so what? The haughty spirit. Now, followed by the haughty spirit, we have this spirit of perversity. See, once you say, so I'm wrong, so what? Perverse is next, and perverse means to worsen the condition. Now you get worse. From perverse, you go to deep sleep. That means when you walk around not aware of what's going on. You live in a fantasy world where you're not conscious of your reality. You live in an imaginary world where everyone's against you and what you're doing is perfectly justifiable and understandable by no one but you. For the simple reason that no one lives in that world but you. Well, from the spirit of deep sleep, you go to the spirit of heaviness, deep depression, not understanding why things are not the way they used to be when you were growing up. Why things affect you the way that they do, it causes a deep depression. Actual chemical changes go on in your body, and now you are set up for the next spirit, the spirit of whoredoms. If you remember, whoredom meant to adulterate. Whoredoms means to want to put something into your body that does not belong there. Adulterate means to put something in that does not belong and to take something out that does belong. That's how you adulterate a human body. That's the spirit of whoredoms. Well, you see, at this time, you have a desire to put something into your body that doesn't belong. Nicotine, caffeine, alcohol, drugs, fat, lard, sugar, spice, and everything nice. All the things that the doctor's going to tell you when he finally puts you on that table, you can't eat that anymore, you're going to die. But you always wait till the man in the white coat tells you and charges you an arm and a leg. But when the man in the black coat tells you for free, you think you know better. Well, what is your problem? You're a whore. That's what your problem is. The only thing you lack is a lamppost. You won't do anything unless there's something in return for you. You won't do anything out of love. You want to do something, you do it to make me feel better, and I'll do something to make you feel better. Whores are always marrying each other, you know that? They won't do anything just out of love. Oh my God, what a church, the way that man talks. If the Bible can say whoredoms, I can say whoredoms. And if God wants me to preach about whoredoms, we must have some whores in here. I mean, why? He doesn't. Does God talk to people that aren't here? Is he nuts or what? No, he talks to those that are here. So see, this desire now to adulterate. But it's only a desire. You're seeking a way to feel better by adding stimulants to your body. They're going to adulterate you. They're going to make you wrong. But they stimulate. They give you temporary relief. Well, at whoredoms, you only have a desire to adulterate. The next spirit that comes is the unclean spirit. The unclean spirit is the one that actually has a craving for that adulterates. Now, do you think that it's just accidental that sequentially all these spirits appear in the Bible in exactly the same order that all addictions become reality? No, that's your creator talking to you. All you got to do is take time to listen to him. Now you have the unclean spirit. And incidentally, Sunday, you're going to find out what follows the unclean spirit. See, the unclean spirit is when you've adulterated yourself, you filled your body with toxins, whether it's through food, drink, or drugs, it doesn't matter. You're full of toxins. You are intoxicated. Now, you know what spirit follows the unclean spirit? The deaf, dumb spirit. Now, have you ever talked to a drunk? They can't hear a word you're saying, and you can't understand a thing they're saying. They're deaf and dumb, aren't they? Deaf and dumb spirit, followed by the unclean spirit, which is the one that takes the stimulants, the toxins, but that was preceded by the whoredoms that desired the toxins, which was preceded by heaviness, which gave you a depression, which wanted you to be uplifted chemically, if no other way, which was preceded by deep sleep, which you weren't real about where you were at, which was preceded by this perverse spirit, in which you said by the haughty spirit, so what? It's my business. But that was before you lied about it, which was before nobody mommied you anymore and treated you like you were a child, which was before sorry didn't get you by anymore, which is before the evil spirit, the time that a condition that you had that you were trying to solve, which was preceded by jealousy. The desire to deal with somebody else's business rather than your own. So now you're at the position of an unclean spirit. Now understand this. God is saying there's something wrong with your spirit. There's nothing wrong with you. God hates sin, but he loves sinners. But you see, the thing that's wrong with the Christian world and the world in general is the world in general loves sin and hates sinners. See, so we're just the opposite. You try to be God and you're just the opposite of God. See, if you hated sin, you say, well, I don't like what that man is doing or that woman is, that's sin. Then how come you do it too? How come you sin? Well, because you love sin. It's the sinner you hate, as long as it's not you. Now, God is just the opposite. He said, I love you, Reuben. Hate what you're doing. Now, if we could learn to treat one another that way, to separate the sinner from the sin, then you could solve any problem between human beings. any problem becomes soluble. You can find the solution. Without that separation of sin from sinner, the only thing you can do is separate person from person. See, there has to be a separation. I understand it's intolerable for you to live under the conditions that you have. I understand that. I think it's a little extreme to throw the baby out because the water's dirty. I'd rather keep the baby and throw the water away. I'd rather keep the sinner and get rid of the sin. Now, what happens in this church is what happens any place where the truth is preached. The minute we say out with sin and stay here sinner, the individual that loves their sin more than they love the truth will go with their sin when it leaves, won't they? Yeah. And that's why we're not the Crystal Cathedral. Yeah. But I don't worry about that. The best preacher that ever walked the face of this earth ended up, after all his effort, with a church of 12, one of which sold him out, the other 11 ran out. That's what the truth will do. People intrinsically do not like the truth unless it's about someone else. So let's get back to this unclean spirit and see what happens to you, why it is that you can finally talk yourself into creating a desire for something you know, you say, and you do not desire because it's wrong, but yet you got to have it. Yet you got to have the Twinkie. You know it's killing you. You know you're on the verge of having to go to the Army Navy surplus store to buy your underwear in the parachute department. You know it's killing you. Doctors already told you what it's doing to your blood pressure, but you're going to go anyway. See, that unclean spirit is messing with you, and you think you can handle it at that point. And then you end yourself dealing with someone who's more worried about your opinion of them rather than their being worried about your condition. I'm going to tell you the truth, and that's just as simple as it is. If you don't like the truth, then we agree on one thing. You're Antichrist, and I'm not. That's okay, as long as you know that's the way that you are. So let's deal with this unclean spirit. Unclean from the Hebrew means religious impurity. We all know that. But it also means filthiness. It means to contaminate yourself, to pollute yourself. See, you need an unclean spirit in order to pollute and contaminate yourself. That isn't you doing it. Understand this. If you cannot make the distinction between you and your wrong in yourself, you'll never make that distinction between someone else's wrong and themselves. See, so you can't see people differently than you see yourself. Now, if you are an emotional, critical wreck with an inferiority complex that thinks you are the pits, then you're going to think the same about everybody else. You've been contaminated, so you contaminate. Now, what does contaminate mean? Well, how does this unclean spirit mess with your mind to cause you to make the wrong decisions? Contaminate means to make impure, infected, or corrupt by the addition of something that does not belong. Whoredoms, adulterate. Well, what is it that you contaminate yourself with? Well, remember what it meant, filth. Filth means dirt and garbage. Now, dirt, I'll tell you what it means in a minute, but let me tell you what garbage is. Garbage is what's left after you take the best part of food. Whatever's left, that's garbage, isn't it? So when you cut up vegetables or whatever, whatever's left that you don't want, that's garbage. That's what's left. That's what's no good. Everybody understands that. But what happens when you take a perfectly good potato and you throw away all the good parts and squeeze it, so to speak, and end up with vodka? You got garbage on your hands, haven't you? Potatoes were never meant to be vodka. They were meant to be potatoes. Grapes, the same thing. Corn's the same thing. The list goes on and on. Well, what are you doing? You're into garbage. You're into what's left after the best part has been taken out. And you see, that's that spirit of uncleanness. It'll give you a desire for the garbage. Now, that's just as much as if you went to eat out of the dumpsters. That's what's thrown away, what's left, what the majority doesn't want. What we recognize as being unhealthy and not good for us. Well, what they do in the food industry, they take all of that garbage, roll it, crush it, package it, and call it bologna. And they're right. And in that bologna, what you got? Parts. And parts is parts. You read that thing and you have no idea what you're eating. There could be chicken lips in there. Who knows what's in there? It's all the garbage, everything that's left. They just put it in a package, make it look different, call it something else, and sell it right back to you. Yeah. You're eating garbage. Garbage means literally the entrails of fowls, guts, intestines. Now, you know how many, liver and onion. People say liver, those are entrails. You're eating garbage. See, people do not understand what's fat. Oh, I just love a good juicy steak and the blood. And what's in the entrails? See, you're eating garbage. That's why the Lord said, don't eat that. Don't eat flesh. Don't eat blood. Don't eat the internal organs. He said, don't eat that stuff. It'll kill you. But people like garbage, don't they? And incidentally, what happens is you start out that way, but your tolerance level to that degree of stimulation finally gets to the point where you can handle that and doesn't stimulate. So now you got to have garbage plus a cigarette afterwards, right? Followed by a few donuts and some dessert. And the accumulation of all these stimulants, boy, you're on cloud nine. But after a while, you go to this restaurant, you eat garbage, you smoke a cigarette afterwards, more garbage. You eat some dessert, more garbage, and it's still not enough. So now you have an after-dinner drink. And then you have an after-after-dinner drink. And then an after-after, and pretty soon you have a before-bedtime drink. And then you have a before-getting-up drink. And then you have a before-going to drink, a before-coming. And then you're into it. Why? Tolerance level. And how did it all start? Intoxication. Eating wrong. The unclean spirit. Now this uncleanness causes dirt. Now, do any of you have any idea what the word dirt means? I'm going to have to be somewhat graphic, but I'm assuming you're all adults and you're here to learn the truth, so I'm going to tell it the way it is. Dirt, the definition of the word dirt is excrement. It means to excrete, to defecate. It means dung. So what it basically means, you're eating dung. You're eating dirt. Now understand this. Any doctor will tell you this. When you get the wrong food inside of you, and withhold it in there for any length of time, you're going to develop bacteria there. Because bacteria loves dung. Bacteria was created to eat dung. That's what it's for. Everywhere there's filthiness, there's bacteria. One follows the other just as surely as the world. So why do doctors tell you you need to keep your system clean? Well, you can take Ex-Lax all you want, but that keeps it running, but it's still dirt. Isn't it smarter not to take those toxins in the first place? Now I'm telling you, this unclean spirit is the one that's killing you. I'm not going to pussyfoot around with you and tell you how much Jesus loves you and some wonderful fairy tale story about how he's coming someday, although that's true. But to you, it's a fairy tale because right now you're in hell. Let's get real. Let's talk to you where you're at. Don't be thinking about heaven now. Let's get you out of hell first. So now you're into dirt, excrement, and garbage, and decay. See, unclean means decay. Decay means to lose strength, soundness, gradually. To rot or decompose gradually. Now, you look at anyone who has an addiction to anything, that's debilitating. Cigarettes, alcohol, food, sugar, whatever it is, they are systematically and gradually losing strength, losing soundness. You understand what's happening to these people? They're rotting on the vine. They're dying and don't even know it. They're gradually decomposing. Their liver doesn't work quite as well as it did. Their kidneys doesn't work quite the same way anymore. Well, what is happening? They are gradually losing strength and losing soundness. They're rotting. You see what all this wrong? See, Jesus said, look, I saved your soul. When you came to the altar and you said, forgive me for my sins, he said, I saved your soul. Now, Christians run off and say, oh, thank God my soul is saved. And thank God your soul is saved. But it isn't your soul that's causing your hell. It's your body. Now, show me in the Bible anywhere where accepting Jesus Christ as Savior in and of itself saved your body. Saved your soul. But there's three parts of you. We've got to deal with the other two parts. Now, Jesus does want to save your body. He does want to make it functional the way it should. But you see, you need to learn what you're doing to your body to make it work wrong in order to do the things that are necessary to make it work right. So what is Jesus saying? He says, I've saved your soul. Your confession of your sin saved your soul. Stopping your sin is what's going to save your body. Yeah. And see, that's where we get all hung up. That's where people get hung up with Christianity. You want to go to some church or some place where some person is going to come up to you and slap you on the forehead and say, heal, and now you can go out and drink and not get drunk. You can go out and eat cookies and candy and stop at McDonald's and not get fat and ugly. Do you ever stop and think the guy that's doing heal to you is fatter and uglier than you are? How come he don't do that to him then? His wife is always looks like she has to go to the sporting goods store there and buy a tent when she wants to go out. How come they're always like that? Because they're emotional. They don't know what to do. So they give you some fantastic Pollyanna kind of, let's just do something magical and everything will go away. Well, how come it hasn't gone away yet? Why are you still eating and drinking and coughing and spitting and doing all those things? Because you haven't been taught yet. You don't know yet that you're rotting. Rot means to decompose gradually by the action of bacteria. So what does that mean? You cannot rot. You cannot decompose unless there's a presence of bacteria. And there can be no presence of bacteria unless there's dirt. See, don't you see how important it is? Why do you think God says it's cleanliness? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Didn't you ever hear that? See, you didn't know what it meant. You thought it meant wash behind your ears, sweetheart. I'm not opposed to having clean ears. But I'm also an advocate of having a clean liver and kidneys and intestines. That's a part of you too. If you don't, you're going to decompose gradually by the action of bacteria. Rot means to become unhealthy, to be sickly, to rot, or to decompose. See, this is how that unclean spirit starts getting through to you, starts changing your life ever so gradually until you become accustomed to this new level of ineffectiveness. And then as soon as you become acclimated to that, he brings you down another level. When you get used to that, down another level, till one day you wake up when it's too damn late. I'm here to tell you it's not too late. You're decomposing. Now, in order to understand so you can apply this to you, see, I'm saying these things to you so that you can make the decision. Do you have an unclean spirit? That's your decision to make, not mine. I know what an unclean spirit is. I know how it operates. I know how it functions. And I know how it manifests. Your decision is, do you got one of these? Well, let's see if you do. Let's see if you're decomposing. The word decompose comes from two words, the prefix D and obviously the suffix compose. The prefix D means the cessation or the reversing of the action or to undo whatever follows. So D in front of compose means to reverse, to cease, to reverse, or undo composing. So see, if you're decomposing, that means you're no longer composing. See how simple that is? Well, now let's see. Let's see if you're decomposing. Composing means to put in proper order or form. Is your marriage, is your life in the proper order and form? Do you have what God said you would have? Do you have your body in order? Do you have health? Do you have prosperity? Do you have happiness? Is your marriage being blessed? Are you being blessed on the job? Do you have peace of mind? Do you sleep well? Do you have a sound, healthy body? If you don't, you're not in proper order or form. You're decomposing. Why are you decomposing? Because you're not composing anymore. Oh, see how simple this is? So you see, if your problem is that you're no longer in proper order or form, then how can we reverse that? Slap you in the forehead? No. Well, if you're not in the proper order or form, then we have to go back and show you what the proper order and form is and let you make the choice whether you want the order and form you have or the proper order and form. But the choice is yours. See, you're decomposing. Decompose means, compose means to put oneself or one's mind in a state of tranquility. So if you're decomposing, you're always worried, you're always upset, and you're always emotional. You're always angry, you're always anxious, you're always frustrated. There's always something about your state of mind that's just the opposite of tranquility. You are rotting away. Don't you understand that all these words have a spiritual, a psychological, as well as a physical meaning for the simple reason that you are a soul, a body, and a spirit? And I believe with all my heart, I need to preach to all three of you. Aren't you tired of having people just preach to your body and tell your body you ought to do right, you ought to stop doing this, and you ought to start doing that, and your body says, well, yeah, I know you're right. And then the soul says, what are they talking about? I have no idea. And the spirit, And they want your body to do by itself what it takes all three of you to do, because they won't tell you that there's three problems for the simple reason they don't even know there's three you. So you see, when you're decomposing, you're putting your mind, yourself and your mind, in a state of anxiety rather than tranquility. Compose is where we get the word composure. It means to be calm. It means to be able to settle and reconcile things. You can't settle anything. I don't want to do this, but I do it. I want to do that, and I don't do this, and I don't want to do that, and that's what I do. Man, if that was your career to be a composer, you'd have starved to death. You couldn't sell that song to anyone, could you? You're not able to settle the differences that you have between yourself. Now I ask you this. How can you reconcile and settle a difference between husband and wife, between you and your career, between you and anything, if you can't even settle or reconcile the conflicts that go on between you as opposed to what you want to do and what you actually do? Doesn't it make sense that we have to reconcile that first? You have to develop the ability to reconcile your own conflicts internally before you can reconcile external conflicts. But you see, people that don't know that will pressure you by saying you need to change externally. That's right, but how? By changing internally. Now, the external way to change, that's hard to do. I understand that. But what's so hard about thinking different? I mean, there's no effort about thinking wrong. I mean, does it give you a headache to think wrong? No. Well, what makes you think it's so hard to think right? There's the same amount of energy expended. So you see, thinking right is no more difficult than thinking wrong. Now, thinking wrong is what made you act wrong. So now, if you want to act right by thinking wrong, you've got a tough, long road to hoe. You're not going to make it. You're just not going to make it, because you're trying to do that you can't do, and you're foregoing that thing that you can do so easy. So now the problem is you're decomposing. You're not able to settle. You're not able to reconcile. Now the minute you're rotting, your mind is rotting, you don't think right, you're always upset, you're always frustrated, you're always angry or emotional, you're always in love. See, you have a rotting mind. Now, anytime there's rot or decomposition, the lack of tranquility, the lack of composure, what happens the minute something starts decomposing? All you have to do is walk into any, go to your refrigerator when you go home tonight. Take out a piece of meat if you have one or whatever. Put it in the oven. Turn up the oven ever so slightly. Not enough to cook it, just enough to make it nice and warm there. Leave it there a couple days and then go back and look at it. And what will you see? Bacteria. Little things with little legs crawling all over. Well, see, they're attracted to that that's rotting. Now, bacteria is an interesting thing. It's an interesting phenomenon. You think that it's just something biological, something medical. And it is that, but that's not all it is. I'm going to prove to you that bacteria is the devil himself. I'm going to prove it to you. Hang on a minute. Bacteria means a one-celled microorganism which multiply by division. Now, see, Jesus came to reconcile God to man and man to God. And Satan comes to multiply by division. Now, how do you always try to solve your problem? Well, the hell with them. I'm getting out of here. Huh? You're going to solve your problems with division? That's Antichrist. Well, I'm getting out of here. I'm not working here anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not listening. That's division, friend. You don't multiply God's way through division. Bacteria multiply by division. Now, you are a walking bacteria. See, bacteria multiply by division. Now, let's look at you and see if you're bacteria. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm doing that. Are you divided? Case closed. You're bacteria. Now that you're bacteria, what is your craving for? Dung, garbage, dirt, filth, trash, garbage, intoxicants. See, so what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, if we don't reconcile your mind, if you don't stop this division in your thinking, you are a one-celled microorganism which multiplies by division and can be seen only with a microscope, by the way, and I'm the microscope. Now, bacteria, besides being a one-cell microorganism which multiplies by dividing, now there's a contradiction in terms right there, causes diseases, and bacteria are necessary for fermentation. You see, this division of your mind, this, I don't want to do that, but I'm sorry that I did it anyway, but I'm going to do it again anyhow, but then I'm going to be sorry again. That's division. What's it causing? Fermentation. Fermentation of the mind. Fermentation of your life, your thought processes. And what it's causing you to do is to be divided in your mind against yourself. Then, as you recognize the division that you have and refuse to deal with it, you will pick someone else who has the same problem, and then you'll raise holy hell with them. Feel good about yourself because you have judged that wrong, but in someone else. And you cannot confess someone else's sin to God and get forgiven. You can only confess yours. So you see, we have two bacteria in the house now. Now, these two bacteria can't get along with diddly, can they? So they want to solve the problem. Say, let's have little bacterias and then we'll love each other again. Let's have children. That'll make us feel better. So now you got three bacteria where you only had two. Now, this child is just divided against itself as the other two. You haven't solved your problem. You've compounded. What have you done? You've multiplied by dividing. Now, what happens when man and woman get together? Divide the egg, right? Boy. You see, God says, look, if you don't follow the Lord, if you're not an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not a manifestation of God, then there's only one other thing you can manifest, right? Satan, your bacteria. Why do you think people, when they get angry at each other, say, you're dirt, you're the scum of the earth? They're right, aren't they? But it takes bacteria. Well, then why'd you marry me? How come you're so attracted to dirt? Because you're bacteria, ma'am. That's why you're attracted to dirt. Now, you're upset at dirt for being dirt when you ought to be upset at you for being bacteria and loving dirt. Now, why did he get attracted to you? He's bacteria, too, and he loves dirt also. And he hates the fact that he's bacteria, but would rather hate the fact that you're dirt so that he doesn't have to deal with the fact that he's bacteria. See the division? And see, the Lord said, look, we got to back up here and try to understand and accept the fact your way do not work. There's something intrinsically wrong with the way you think, which is a direct shadow of the way you were taught. Now, there's nothing wrong with you. You have bad training. If you had been told all of your life that 2 and 2 is 5, and someone came along and made a medical evaluation on you and said, you are a blithering idiot and you have a neurotic problem and a basic learning disability, they'd be stupid, wouldn't they? All you've done is you've learned something the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with your ability to learn. It's what you've been taught that's wrong. So if you stop defending what you've learned because you think you're defending yourself. Now, how can you stop people from defending what's wrong with them? Very simple. Don't attack. See, there's no necessity for defense if there's no attack. You see, it's so simple to live in harmony with Jesus Christ. You just have to understand the wiles of the devil. You got to understand how this dude works. You've got to understand what makes him tick. Jesus said, learn the wiles of the devil or he'll take you at his will. You've got to learn how your enemy operates. And then when you say, well, I want to know how bacteria operates, I say, well, look in the mirror. Because you are bacteria. Now I'm going to prove it to you. See, I wouldn't leave you hanging like this. Now, first of all, bacteria cause disease. Now, bacteria cause disease. Now let's see if you have disease. Now doesn't it follow if you have disease, then you got bacteria. Now if you got bacteria, bacteria only loves dirt. So if you got dirt, you got bacteria, and bacteria cause disease. Now all three of you, bacteria, dirt, disease. All three of you are in the soup now, aren't they? All right, let's talk about disease. Disease, inconvenience, by definition, means inconvenience and trouble. See, you don't like to do anything unless it's convenient for you. Everything's trouble. You don't go out of your way for anything or anybody. You've got disease, friend. Why? Because you're bacteria. Why? Because you're full of dung. You're full of it. Let's face it. You know what else disease means? Discomfort. It's that feeling of, I don't know what's wrong, and God, what's the matter with me? And there's just no comfort. You are not comfortable. You are uncomfortable. You're not able to be comfortable. See, comfortable doesn't mean to be comfortable. It means to be able to be comforted. Now, I've dealt with people long enough to know that some people, who, if you have discomfort, it's because you're not able to be comforted. You are not comfortable. So what I have to do is deal with your inability to be comforted. And see, and then people get a different perspective. Then you understand, my God, there's hope. There's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with what I believe. There's something wrong with what I've been taught. And that's why Jesus said, I love you. Hate what you're doing. You got disease. Disease, besides discomfort, means a departure from health or illness in general. But it means a particular destructive process in an organ or organisms, sugar diabetes, cirrhosis of the liver, emphysema, those are diseases, but they were caused by bacteria, which was caused by dirt. So now we go back to what any medical doctor will tell you after you're sick. They'll tell you, don't eat that anymore. Well, but you already have the disease now. So now they say, well, let's see, that's, it's all those toxins, all that wrong system in there got you sick. So now don't eat that food anymore. Well, doctor, what are you going to do? Take these drugs, take these pills, which has more toxins than all the food you ever ate. Right. So now all that does is numb your brain, make you think you feel better, and now you're on a prescribed drunk. And I'll tell you the truth, it's cheaper to go get a bottle of Jim Beam than to get a prescription filled. They're both going to have the same ultimate effect. Now, what does bacteria cause? Why does bacteria, what does bacteria do in your body? What happens when you eat wrong, drink wrong? What happens when you put unclean things in your body? Whether you sniff them, snort them, inhale them, ram, jam, or cram, however you get them in there. What happens? Bacteria causes fermentation. Fermentation means the breakdown of complex molecules in organic compounds. You literally start breaking down internally. Now, people say, well, the doctor says I'm all right internally. I can see the breakdown coming long before the x-ray shows it. Because I know there's three of you. And when you start breaking down in the soul, crying and always broken down and, oh, I'm this and this is wrong, you're having a breakdown in your mind. And then you start talking defeat. I'm so sorry. I'm this. I'm that. Now your spirit is breaking down. It won't be long before the x-ray will show it in your body, but I saw it way ahead of time. See, God gives us x-rays that are better than those x-rays. We can see the breakdown coming long before it's a reality. Long before it manifests itself physically, you can hear it by how the individual, you can see it by how this person acts. You can hear it by the way they talk. So I see the breakdown coming long before it's detectable by any medical or any other means. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ heals you before you get sick. I personally have a difficulty with people that wait until you're on crutches and in a bed and then want to come and heal you. And you've been going to their church all your life and they ain't done a blessed thing about helping you until you were flat on your back. Well, I know why. They want to get you off your back and back to work so you can put more money in the basket. Isn't it sad the way... See, and obviously, I don't pull any punches on anybody, do I? Why? Because this is what the Lord taught me. This is what's wrong with all of us. Now, this breakdown of complex molecules is called fermentation. Now, it's caused by the influence of a ferment or a ferment. Now, what does ferment mean? Bacteria. So you see, if you eat wrong, that attracts bacteria. Bile, you have a chemical imbalance, it gets into your bloodstream, and now you have an intoxicated system again, and yet you're eating right. So you see, it doesn't do just to change physically what you're doing. You have to change mentally how you think. You have to change actually how you talk. So now your soul has changed, your spirit has changed, and now your body changes. But everybody tries to have you do it in the opposite. In the only way that it cannot be done, because it didn't start in your body. So how are you going to finish it in your body? See, if we could chain you down and stop you from doing whatever it is that you're doing, the minute we released you, your mind and your spirit would have the same craving. I'll give you a week to 10 days and you're back in the soup again. Why? Because we haven't dealt with all of you. You cannot threaten someone's body. I'm going to do this. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to sue you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The body says, wow, yeah, we better straighten out. It really wants to. But you see, there's another two parts of you that aren't being dealt with. And two against one. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is fair. And that's why Jesus Christ said, get this. If you get nothing else, get this. I'm trying to reconcile you as an individual. And Jesus Christ said, when any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I know what you've been taught. Yeah. That means you want to do something, you got to find at least one other person that agrees with you. Yeah. Huh? What did Jesus really mean? He said there's three of you. Now, if your mind and your body agree, that's what you're going to do. I don't care what your spirit says. Yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't want to do that anymore. Praise God. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. But the body says, we want to do that. And the mind says, we do too. So if any two of you are agreed as touching anything, it shall be done for them. See, two means one and another one. Them means more than two. So when Jesus said, if two of you are agreed, then all three of you are going to get it. Now, it doesn't matter which two. All three of you are going to get it. Don't you understand how simple that is? So if I can just get two of you, now, what do? I say, well, what two are we going after? Well, the Bible says that your flesh is incorrigible. Hates God, hates the truth, doesn't want to be in subjection. You're going to want to drink. You're going to want to cuss. You're going to want to do it all for the rest of your life. So ain't no sense trying to talk that jerk into it. But that's the way the world does it, doesn't it? The flesh is against the Word of God. The Bible says the flesh is unable and unwilling to be in subjection to the Word of God. So what does everybody do? Try to make the flesh do it. Try to get the flesh in one other part. Forget the flesh. What you need to do is you get your mind right, Cool Hand Luke. You got to get your mind right, and then you got to learn the truth, and then you got to speak it. Now, two of you are agreed. Guess who goes along kicking and screaming? This is a lot easier than you thought it was. There's an answer to everything. I refuse to believe that my Lord and my God would put us on this world, put us into the subjection and dominion of the Satan and all his demon spirits, and still have the audacity to call himself God. Still say he is supreme. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our protector and our savior and our physician and our provider. How dare him say that if in reality these demon spirits have authority over us and you can't do anything about it? That's a lie from the pit of hell, and it's impossible for God to lie. So if God isn't lying, that only leaves you, booby. I mean, somebody's lying here, because we got the problem there. That's very evident. So now we have fermentation. Well, the minute you got fermentation, it's because you got bacteria. Now, bacteria wants to multiply, wants to make things worse by dividing. That's the way a cancer is. You get one cancer cell. See, cancer is not happy by itself. And see, cancer hates. See, cancer means to be a crab. That's where it comes from. The word cancer means a crab. Now, cancer means somebody that's not happy with the way things are. So you see, when your system develops a crab cell, it means I'm not happy. Everybody around here is healthy. And I'm not happy, and I'm different than everybody else. Well, I could get happy and then I'd be like everybody else, but hell no, that's too easy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make everybody else unhappy. Then we'll all be the same. Now we got a cancer. Now we got a crab on our hands. This is the individual, looks around, everybody's happy and can't stand that fact, and wants to make everybody unhappy, which is the hard way to go, instead of making themselves. You only have one person to change if cancer would change. But cancer, no. Now, cancer wants to change everybody else so that they're just like them. So the cancer cell attacks all the healthy cells, turn them into cancer cells, they attack more cells, and pretty soon the person dies. Now, you think that you're right, you want to go on all your life criticizing and judging and being unhappy, you are a crab, a cancer. It won't be long before it'll manifest somewhere in your body and you'll have it in reality. And then you will remember what this man told you about how cancer develops. That's how it develops. That's why it develops. Well, this bacteria, this cancer, multiplies by division. Multiply means to increase in number and amount and extent. Things get worse, the intensity is worse, the frustration is worse, things are getting worse. Bacteria causes things to get worse. And they do it by division. Now, let me tell you something right now. You got to get division out of your life, for the simple reason that it's an indicator that bacteria is there. And you know what division means? It doesn't mean two into four. It's two. That's not what it means. Division means disagreement. Bacteria always disagrees. Division means anything separated from the larger unit of which it is a part. Now, whenever you choose to settle something by removing yourself from the unit of which you're a part, whether it's your church family or your nuclear family, the family within the family, you're guilty of divisions. That's bacteria trying to help you solve a problem by dividing. Well, I'm here to tell you, we don't want to divide you as a family. We don't want to divide as a church, but we can't solve it there. We got to get in your mind and tell you there's some division in here. You say you don't want to do it, but yet you do. You sincerely don't, but you darn well want to. So then the result is you have a division inside of here. So let's forget about the division on the outside for the time being. Let's go to the source. Let's deal with this problem where it began. Now you won't be separated from the larger unit of which you are a part. Now, understand how this works. You can see it before it starts coming. See, you can always tell a potential crab. See, they'll come and say, they'll show you an incision from here to here. And I say, well, what happened? Well, they took this out and took that out. Oh, I see, they separated something from the larger unit of which it was a part, huh? You're just dying. They're just burying you in pieces, aren't they? Can't you see that? Division also means a difference of opinion. Why do you think Jesus said, agree with thine adversary quickly? For the simple reason that he can't multiply unless he divides. See, Satan cannot work in your life and your family unless you disagree. Now, when someone walks up to me and says, I think you're stupid, Reuben, I say, I agree. You think I'm stupid. Now, how can I disagree? That's what the man thinks. He's entitled to that. I'm not going to disagree with that because that's what he thinks. So you see, you can find a way never to disagree because Jesus said, agree with thine adversary quickly. Why? Because there's no division without disagreement because they're synonymous. You see, you don't disagree and you don't argue. See, there can be no pressure unless you resist. Now you have all this dirt, all this dust, all this garbage in your system, and you're addicted. You become addicted to your appetites. And your appetite is for things that contaminate you. How did this happen? Very quickly, I will tell you how it all began. I'll tell you why you have a desire to be contaminated. I'll tell you how it began in the first place, how it began with the first man and woman, how it still begins, how it still is, and I'll tell you what to do about it. Genesis 3:13, you needn't even turn there unless you're quick, because I'm on my way here. It says the serpent, after the fall, Eve is making her big excuse. What have you done? The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So the serpent has to beguile you to give you an appetite for something you shouldn't eat. She knew she shouldn't eat that. Adam knew, but the serpent beguiled them so that they wanted to eat it. So first you need a serpent, then you need beguiling, and then you'll want to eat. Now the Lord deals with the serpent in the next verse, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly, upon your appetites. Your appetites is what's going to be around, what your life revolves around. Upon your belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. That's how you ended up. That's how the serpent ended up. Now, let's go back and find out, could you possibly be a serpent? Yeah. Well, if you're the Antichrist, I'll guarantee you are. Well, see, the serpent beguiles and you want to eat. Now, your appetite becomes very important to you. It doesn't matter what your appetite is for. You got to have it. What you eat becomes what your appetite dictates. And your appetite is for dust, dirt, garbage, spoil, rotting, fermented food. Well, how did this all happen? Well, we need a serpent. The serpent is the one that beguiles. The serpent is the one that talked them into it. Now, what does serpent mean? Besides snake and all the other things, it means to learn by experience. Now, what did Satan say to Adam and Eve? God said, don't eat, you're going to die. Try it. Learn by your own experience, not by what God says. For God's sake, don't go to that church and learn by the Word of God. You go out there and you test yourself and you learn by experience. That's what they did. And you're going to find out that God's just as truthful to you as he was to Adam and Eve. So the first thing that happens, you learn by experience. That's trial, test, and experiment. You certainly do not want to be told what's wrong with you. You want to go out and wait till you have emphysema, cirrhosis, and a few other things, and then your experience would have taught you that the Lord is right. But at that point, you've learned by experience. Too late now. You're out of the garden. You're out of here. So what happened? You had to learn by experience. Now, this learning by experience beguiles. Beguiles means to seduce, to delude, and to deceive. So you see, your experience will deceive you. If you try to learn by yourself, that deceives you. It deludes you. Delude means to fool yourself by false promises. New Year's resolution. I'm going to stop that. I really don't want to do that anymore. And I know that this, you're deluding yourself up one side and down the other. for the simple reason that you are beguiling yourself. You're also seducing yourself, which means to persuade yourself to do something that you didn't want to do. Now you see, your hand is hooked up to your brain. Now how did you get that drink or that cigarette or that joint or whatever? How did you get your hand to put it in your mouth without your brain saying, pick it up and put it in your mouth? Oh, no. Well, that's a delusion. That's seduction. You seductive little thing. You sexy little thing, you. About the only one you can seduce is yourself. Now that you've seduced yourself, you deceive yourself. Deceive means to make a person believe what's not true. See, here you are. You have this problem. That's not true. Not my fault. I'm not. You're deceiving. You deny where you're at. While you're laying in your own vomit and you say, I'm not drunk. I'm not hungover. My God in heaven, you're deceiving yourself, my friend. And then comes the beguiling, to mislead by cheating, to take away something that's yours. Health, peace, happiness, that's yours. That's a God-given gift. And now your belly becomes your God. You're going to go upon your belly. Belly means the belly as the source of the fetus. Now your belly becomes very important to you. You know what belly means? It means to inflate and swell a leather bag. Yeah. Next time you go in the shower, see if you got a belly. Yep, you got an inflated, swelled leather bag, haven't you? But it also means an appetite for food. Appetite means a desire to satisfy some craving of the body. Now, your mind knows better. Your mind says, that's not going to help us. That's bad. And you think you can deal with it. It's the craving of your body that's wrong. Because you're listening to your body instead of to your mind. So what do we have a problem now? A desire to satisfy a craving of the body. It's a desire for some specific food. It's a desire for that that's clearly wrong. Now, God said, and I'll quit with this, you're going to eat dust. Dust, among other things, means rubbish. It means something that's rejected, something that's worthless, something that is trash, and something that is refuse. Refuse shall you eat all the days of your life. See, your body knows the difference between food and garbage to begin with. It will refuse refuse. See, if you look up in the dictionary, there's two refuses there. Refuse, number one, and the next word is pronounced refuse. So your body refuses refuse. Now, you can make your body accept refuse, but to begin with, it refuses refuse. Now, refuse means to decline to accept or to reject. Refuse means trash, garbage, or something that's worthless. So your body will not accept and will reject anything that's rubbish and worthless. It'll reject it. To begin with, remember when you took the first drag? You couldn't take it. Your body was rejecting it. Remember the first drink? It burned all the way down like gasoline. Your body was rejecting it. You remember all those things? See, your body was refusing refuse. It was rejecting. Now let me show you how you reject. Reject means to throw or fling back, to discard or throw out as worthless, substandard, to throw up and vomit. Yeah. See, so when you're rejecting, you're refusing refuse. You ate or drank trash. See, your body knows enough to try to throw it up. It's rejecting. Well, now let's go into the word vomit. See, I'm going to tell you the different ways your body rejects so that you can understand what's wrong with you. So now the body is rejecting. Well, how does it do it? It vomits. Vomit means to eject the contents of the stomach through the mouth. So that's one rejection. Some of you already know what's coming, don't you?
Yeah.
Too bad. So you vomit, but you also belch. Belch means to bring up and to splutter out. It means to expel gas through the mouth from the stomach. But you know belch also means to utter curses and orders violently. But you see, now that you're belching, you see, you've rejected, you've vomited, you've belched. So that means you're taking in some bad things. Well, now it's time to cough, isn't it? Cough means to bring up or to eject phlegm. Phlegm means inflammation, mucus, snots, in other words. But you see, phlegm is believed to cause sluggishness and dullness, because phlegm is where we get the word phlegmatic. And phlegmatic means hard to rouse, hard to get up in the morning, hard to get going, procrastinate, just so hard to get started, sluggish, dull, apathetic. See, you're phlegmatic. Why? Because you're full of phlegm. Why? Because you're not refusing refuse. That's why you're always so snotty. That's why, see, boy, that's a snotty attitude. I understand why you're snotty. I know what's wrong with you. Well, now we're phlegmatic. Now we have one more word. Now, I've always been of the opinion that if the word is in the Bible, the word is in the Hebrew dictionary, in the Greek dictionary, or in the English dictionary, I'm not above saying that word. I will say it when it's appropriate. And I can't leave this message undone. You're adults, I'm an adult, I'm doing this to help you. Fart. It's in the dictionary. It means to emit gas from the intestines. Now some would say, oh my God, I'm so offended. Did you hear what that man said from the pulpit? Well, friend, let me ask you this. If you're so offended just because I say the word, how come you're not offended when you walk around the house pulling the trigger all day long? It would seem to me that would be a whole lot more offensive than my saying the word. And don't lie, when you're alone, you are not above that. And some of you don't even have to be alone. And how come that doesn't offend you? See what's happened? You have a twisted, warped view of yourself. The fact of the matter is, you walk around farting all day, don't you? Now, why would God tell us these things? Because they're true. You see what the Lord is trying to tell you? Look, what's wrong with you is you are so full of wrong things that are fermented, bacteria, foul things. You have an unclean spirit. And look how your body's reacting. It's trying to reject these things in every way that it possibly can. It's sending you signals. My God in heaven, can't you read? Can't you see? Can't you smell, if nothing else? You know, there's something drastically wrong when you have more gas than Saddam Hussein. Something's fermenting inside, isn't it? Now, let me tell you something. I'm telling you this because it's causing you health problems. Now, understand what would what happens when all that foulness gets into your bloodstream and ends up in your brain. Well, you're better off to be drunk on Jim Beam than that stuff. Emotional people are the worst drunks of all. The worst addicted people of all. They're drunk on bile. They're drunk on adrenaline. They're drunk on the fermented food that maybe was right, but they fermented it. They kept it in there too long. And what happens when you get upset, when you get angry, when you get emotional? You get constipated, don't you? And then the food sits in there too long, doesn't it? You can't move it. It starts putrefying. It starts getting worse than it already is. And what happens? Eventually, that gets into your bloodstream, into your system, and eventually to your brain, and it alters the way that you think. Now these people that are drunk on their own emotions, on their own self-importance, then turn around and judge the rest of us. Can you see why there's no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you see why there's no way out of this without the truth? Can you see that there is no subject that's sacred that I will not discuss if it'll help you? And there's nothing wrong with you that I won't tell you about if you ask me. Now, if you don't want to know, don't come here. And don't ask me, because if you'd come here and ask me, I'm going to tell you. Now, I don't believe that God asked me to preach this message to people that weren't full of it. Because that's what this message is about. The Lord is basically saying, you're full of it, child. And that's what's causing your problem. See, you ate wrong, or you fermented what you ate through your emotions. Now, what happens to this? Why do people try to reject truth? Why do they try to reject what you tell them? Well, they're refusing. Now, the soul needs mental food, The minute you don't accept the truth, you've rejected. You've rejected the truth. Now, if you accept a lie, then you're going to start belching, aren't you?
Yeah.
Same is true for spiritual food and finally physical food. See, you feed refuse to any of the above, your soul, your spirit, or your body, and they will refuse it. But if you don't look at the signals, the obvious signals that your body is refusing, and don't equate the fact that when you eat something that's bacteria, it what? Doesn't agree with you, does it? Well, remember what disagreement meant?
Yeah.
Okay, so now what is your body telling you? All along, Jesus Christ is showing you, even if you never heard a sermon, even if you never had one counseling session, your body itself tells you, this isn't good. Listen to us. If nothing else, smell yourself. Something is not good here. Smell your breath in the morning. My God in heaven, you ate something yesterday that's not sitting well with anybody. And then even after that, notice how people, your body, even through your pores, do one of these numbers once. I'll tell you if you're eating right. Remember the story I told you about Vietnam? Where the Viet Cong could smell Americans from a distance. Why? Because they're meat eaters. And it gave off a smell that they hadn't smelled before, so they were very quickly attuned to it. Now, we don't smell it ourselves because we're around ourselves all the time. See, you got to understand that your body will tell you. And if you don't listen to your body, then God will send you somebody like me. If you don't listen to me, then you ain't got no hope. There's only one other person left for you to listen to, and that's you. And you listening to you is what brought you here. If you weren't unhappy, you wouldn't be here, neither would I. If I thought I knew everything, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I'd have no need to be here. I'm here because I need the Lord. I need the truth. And this message spoke to me. If it spoke to you, fine. If it didn't, then refuse it. And you'll find yourself accepting refuse instead of refusing refuse. And then your body will tell you all day long. It'll tell you. You didn't listen to me. Listen to your body. And then when you become quick draw McGraw, when you think you're alone, then you'll really know that I was telling you the truth. The simplicity of life in Christ Jesus. If you would just open your mind to one inescapable fact, you don't know what the hell you're doing. Just that simple. Just that recognition will cause you to look up and look for help. But as long as you think you know, then you're doomed to learn by your own experience. That's what this message is against. Brother Sherman, would you close the service in prayer, please?